My name is Kathy, and I'm an alcoholic. I started drinking when I was about 14 or 15. The first time I had got drunk, my mother had three nuns over for dinner, and I was serving the wine in the kitchen, and I was also drinking it. And that was my first experience getting drunk. And after that, I drank whenever I had the opportunity to, which was at holiday parties that my friend's parents had, or if my friends and I could get people to buy alcohol for us. And I also drank when I babysat for people who had alcohol in their house, and that was not a good thing. I got caught doing that, and it didn't stop me from continuing drinking whenever I could. When I got into high school, I started smoking pot. It was easier for me to get and easier for me to hide. And my family life was kind of rough. My mother and I didn't get along. And when I was 17 and a senior in high school, she divorced my father and took my two sisters and moved out west. And I wasn't invited. And I used that as an excuse to really feel sorry for myself and to continue drinking. I barely graduated high school. I didn't go to the graduation. I always thought I'd go to college, but I didn't do that. I didn't do anything when I graduated except watch Star Trek reruns. And my father told me to get a job in a week, so I got a job washing dishes in a nursing home, which was not my dream job. And I was working with a high school friend of mine, and we used to go out behind the dumpster and smoke pot, and we used to drink after work a lot. I had been really heavy, and my mother was always on my case about it after she left, and she wasn't on my case about it. I started losing weight on my own. And after I did that, I started going out to bars drinking. I went to this one nightclub. It was a big rock club for young people. And I was kind of in a blackout, in and out of a blackout, but they hired me as a waitress. And I worked there for a couple of years. They had live bands, lots of drinking and lots of drugs. And you know, it was quite a big change from just watching Star Trek reruns. So I continued working at this nursing home and working at this club. And one day I asked my father to borrow the car to drive my friend home. And we had been drinking. And I remember asking to borrow the car, but I don't remember driving. And I remember a few things in between, going to some bar and being in my car. But the next thing I really remember is I was in jail, and I had no idea what had happened. I remember crying and just being in this cell. And they took me to the courthouse the very next day, and my coat was ripped and my shoes were gone. I had one sock on. My buttons on my shirt were gone. I had scratches all over my face, and I had no idea what I had done, but I knew I was guilty, whatever it was. So I went in front of the judge, and I found out that I took down three parking meters and a tree, and then I tried to get the light post, and I ended up leaving the scene of the accident, and I wound up behind the police station with two flat tires up on the medium strip. So they just had to come out and get me. And so as a result of that accident, I lost my license. I had to take alcohol safety awareness classes, and I had to pay a fine. So that didn't wake me up to my drinking either. I didn't drink for four whole days. That's how much it influenced me. But I continued to drink, and but I started to notice that I was getting into trouble. So I was introduced to AA in these alcohol safety awareness classes, but I just thought that if alcohol was the problem, then I just wouldn't drink. But the first thing I tried to do was control my drinking. So I would go out for 3 drinks, and I always had multiple drinks, whether until I passed out or blacked out or ran out of money. And I noticed that that wasn't working, so the next thing I tried was not drinking at all. And I was still losing weight. I lost a lot of weight. I didn't drink alcohol. I didn't eat junk food. And I exercised all the time. And I tried to make my life perfect. I didn't drive over 55. I didn't swear. I didn't litter. And I dropped all my friends because they weren't trying to be perfect like I was. But the real reason I found out later was that I didn't know how to deal with people without a drink or a substitute. So I went along and being perfect. I went out west to visit my mother, thinking that now that I was perfect, everybody was going to love me. And it didn't work out well at all. And I came back, and the next thing I tried was seeing a psychologist. And we talked about my mother. We didn't talk about my drinking. But I didn't drink on my own for about 7 or 8 months. And it was probably the second worst condition I've ever been in besides being an active alcoholic, because I was just completely stark raving sober and just dry with no program and no tools. And no power, no higher power. I didn't even last three, I didn't drink for those 7 or 8 months, and then I felt like having a beer. I was still working at this rock club, and I used to take home a couple of beers every night that they gave us in case I had company, which I didn't have because I dropped all my friends. So I was talking to the psychologist and told him that I felt like having a drink, and he told me to go ahead and have one. So I got the permission I was looking for, and I drank all the beer that was in the refrigerator and the warm schlitz that was up in the cupboard. I don't even know where it came from. And I was off and running again after that. I didn't even last 3 months. I was so much worse after I had been dry for 7 or 8 months. And I've learned in AA that alcoholism progresses whether you're drinking or not. And I was just so much worse. And it was like being on the elevator of alcoholism, which only goes down, and somebody came along and cut the cable, and I just smashed to the bottom. I had known about AA, and I was desperate. I went to some meetings. I was drinking in my car outside the meetings. And one night I had to go to work at this rock club, and I was drunk. And I told them that I couldn't work that night. I went there drunk and told them I couldn't work. And then I tried to find an AA meeting, and I found one in Lowell, and I went there drunk, and the meeting was over. They were saying the Lord's Prayer, and I thought I was too late, that it was all over. And a man talked to me and introduced me to this woman, and she told me to surrender and go home and try not to pick up another drink and to get on my knees and ask a power greater than myself to keep me away from a drink for one day. And I didn't really like the sound of that, but I knew there was a power greater than myself at this point, and it was alcohol, and it was beating me up. So I went home, and I put my glasses under my bed. So the next morning, when I was on my knees picking them out, I just looked up, and I said, "Help!" And that was the first day that I didn't drink. And I started going to a lot of meetings. The woman that I talked to at that meeting became my sponsor. She was very available and very spiritual, and helped me a lot for a couple of years. I joined a group right away as it was suggested. I got involved in the group. I went on commitments even before I could speak, and I got active with the group. I went to step meetings right away. The steps, all the meetings confused me, so I wasn't, the steps were no different. It was just a whole new language, but I was told that I was in the right place with the right people. So I felt that. I felt kind of at home. I identified with the people that I heard. I never realized that people were thinking the way I was thinking and feeling the way I was feeling. And it was quite a revelation. So I just kept going to meetings. I cried for a very long time, for like 5 years. And I guess I had a lot to cry about, but I didn't drink. I just didn't drink no matter what. And that's what I was told, don't drink no matter what. And so I just kept going along and going to meetings. And when I was about 10 years sober, I started going to school, which I thought I would never do. But I went to school, I took a couple of classes, and I did okay. So I decided that I wanted to go to college full-time to pursue a degree for a specific career. So I did that. I had to move to New York to go to school, and I lived at the college in the dorm with all the young people. I was 30 years old, and I went to meetings in New York, and a lot of times when my classmates were studying, I was going to meetings. And I mean, I did my studies as well, but the meetings really helped me get through it. When I was a sophomore, both my parents died suddenly, 5 weeks apart from each other. And at that point, my father had become my best friend. You know, my mother had left with my sisters, and it was just me and my dad. And when I got sober, we really, really became good friends. So I was kind of devastated about that, but I went to meetings, and I didn't drink. What happened was I got a message at school to call my sister, and I had just come from an AA meeting. Everybody went to friendlies, but I didn't go because I had to write a paper. So when I got the message from my sister that my father had died, when I hung up with her, I called friendlies, and I asked the friendlies people to find, you know, the group that we were always there every Monday, so they knew who I meant. And they left friendlies and came to the school and helped me get through that. That was very painful. But I also didn't have to quit school. A lot of people thought, you know, I should take time off. But I stayed in school and just cried my way through it. But I was able to graduate. After I graduated, I got a job in this chosen profession. And I loved it. And I was able to buy a condo. And I had my own car, and I just kept working and working. And then I decided to get my doctorate, which I did in 2004 and 5. It was difficult to do, but I don't know. I think the power behind the program just keeps motivating me to do things. And I continue to get on my knees and ask for help every morning and get on my knees and thank this higher power at night. I don't really understand the higher power, but I know that it works in my life. And I just have to have faith. And I get faith mostly by going to meetings and staying in touch with people in the program. I'm still working at the same job and living in the same place. I I have a lot of friends that I enjoy, friends that I've known for a long time in the program, and some friends that I've known that were not in the program. I have a good relationship with my two sisters, and I continue to go to meetings, and the slogans used to not make sense to me, like easy does it and first things first and live and let live, but the more I came and the more I listened, the more they made sense to me. And I was told that I didn't have to drink no matter what, and that I didn't have to drink even if I thought I was going to drink. And I didn't have to pick it up. Just don't pick up the first drink. And, you know, I've heard people say that if you get hit by a train, it's not the caboose that kills you. So that I could relate to that a lot. And through the years, I've been able to travel. I've gone around the country to visit family members. And I always go to meetings when I'm there. I've been to New Mexico and Minnesota, and 1 year I drove across country for school purposes and was able to go to a meeting in every town that I stopped in. There are some books, the state's directories for AA, that have listings of people and groups all across the country. So I bought those, and I used them for wherever we stopped. I had an experience with AA one time when I decided, this was years back, but I was sober, and I decided to move to California because my sister was there. And I had been there many times, and I didn't think it was a geographical cure, but I packed up all my stuff, and I started to drive to California, and my car broke down in Knoxville, Tennessee. I didn't even make it out of the Eastern Standard Time Zone. And it was 9 o'clock on a Friday night, and I got out of my car. It was just kind of bumping all over the place, and I got out of my car, and my left front tire was perpendicular to the car, so I broke an axle or something. So I went up to the truck stop and talked to some greasy guy who told me he never heard of AAA. And so I left him and went to a payphone, and I called the AA people in the state's directory before I called AAA. And I talked to a woman who kept me on the phone and set me up with her mechanic in a hotel. But at the last minute, when I was back at my car with the tow truck driver, this woman and her husband, who were both in the program, came down to the exit where I was, and they picked me up and they took me home with them, and I stayed with them for 9 days. My car was totaled. I went to meetings with these people. I worked a day in the intergroup office, and they just saved my life. And I was able to move on to California the 9 days later, and I didn't like California, so I ended up coming back to the East. And but that was just an experience that I had, reaching out to AA people and having them be there for me. I've had people offer to pick me up at the airport and take me wherever I need to go. I was able to go on a dream trip to Sweden a few years ago, and before I even went there, I looked up AA in Sweden, and I got hooked up with this guy named Frederick. And when I got to Sweden, I met up with him, and I went to an English-speaking meeting, and then one night I went to a Swedish-speaking meeting. And Frederick wanted to translate for me, but I told him no, I just wanted to listen to the rhythm of the meeting and, you know, just get the feeling of it. So I just sat back, and, you know, as they read things like how it works and said the prayers. I could understand it, you know, by the way they were saying it, but not the language. But it was just very, 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 very nice. And I was able to go to a midsummer party there on an island that was an AA event. And this was all because I reached out to AA people and, you know, tried to make a connection. I have to go to meetings. I have to reach out and do the work. The program won't come to me. I have to go to it. And I have to stay active and do the same things that I did when I was new. It doesn't change. I ask for help. I don't drink. I go to meetings. I stay in touch with people who are in the program. I trust and rely on a higher power. And the steps are very important for changing who I brought into this program, because that person will drink again. So I needed to change her, and I did that through the steps. And I didn't do them alone. I had people helping me, people in the program who had done them before me, and just kind of reassured me as I went along. So actually, you know, I thought that AA was the worst thing that ever happened to me, and it turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to me, and I'm really grateful to the program and to all the people in it and to this higher power. And I got sober when I was 20, and I'm 50 now, and I haven't had to go out again and drink because it's not a requirement. And you know, the door doesn't always swing both ways. Sometimes people go out and they don't ever come back, and that scares me. It's a healthy fear of alcohol. So I think I'll just try to keep my seat in AA and keep coming. Thank you.